Good and hard, ladies and men of a gentle disposition, and welcome back to Doom Ready, also known as Tango TV, where today, a very exclusive episode of Program B, joined by co-host Tansman and Matt Trapiano, and also guest Do, we will be discussing the CAC Awards. We've been on a hiatus, of course. In fact, I think the last time we put an episode forth, we were saying that we were just recovering from that hiatus, but then we went straight back into another one. mostly because of business, but sort of because of my internet not existing. So that was that. Yeah. But we're back, and hopefully with a punch now, 2014, with this exclusive episode for you. And where to begin? I mean, we have a heck of a lot of new features for this latest CAC Awards. I think it's the most feature-filled yet. The SB Award for Lifetime Achievement was introduced, with its first recipient being Kaizo, which we'll get to in a moment, of course, since that's actually first up. In part, I guess, dedicated this CAC Awards to SB, who, I hope all of us know, certainly all of us involved in the panel at the moment, but those also listening, was a wonderful level designer and individual, of course, of the Doom community. Most of us will know him for his Suspended in Dusk, Back to Basics 2, which I think was actually put up on the as part of the Zandrenum playthrough for some sort of Fragfest, and they remarked that it was... many people wouldn't know, and that was part of a shovelware collection or something, which maybe wants to go on a bit of a tirade, but there we are. But, of course, the first recipient was Kaizo.
Absolutely. Yes, Samuel. Yeah, Samuel Villarreal, yeah.
Yep.
Kaizo is prolific in what he does. He's a map designer. He's a programmer. I want to say he probably is one of the very few people that have made stuff for Strife, the often neglected Doom source port, the not source port, what the hell, Doom Engine games, and
fuck up, he's contagious.
I mean, like, he also did the what is it? The it's not quite a well, it's a half port, half remake, the Doom 64 EX port, which actually requires like a Doom 64 ROM to run, and it like builds a WAD and basically makes Doom 64, but for the PC. Mm-hmm. And it's and I played through it, and it's exactly as I remember Doom 64 on N64, which is still fun, and very very like it still had like some technical chops, like with how it dealt with things in the a more improved Doom engine, still had some like weird technical weirdnesses, like you couldn't have any textures over 64x64, but like it was replicated down to pretty much exactly how it worked on the N64, which is fascinating to me.
Yeah, I never played the original. That is, where did the Absolution set? Where did that come from? That wasn't Kaizo related, I don't think.
It wasn't. But like a group of people wanted to make, or kind of like remake it, or well, like pretty much to the Vertex for I think it was Doomsday, right? That source port. And they succeeded in that. They called it Absolution because I think that was going to be the actual name for Doom 64. It was like Doom Absolution, but I guess Nintendo was like we're calling a lot of our games whatever 64 just to like kind of like I guess market the new system. So you know they decided upon Doom 64.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of surprised actually haven't seen many mods or map sets come out for EX actually. Since when was it originally put out there? I recall I think it was C3ON9, if I'm getting his name right, actually attempted something. But that's about as much as I can recall right now, although I think we do have plans at some point, at least Tansman certainly has put forward suggested that we do not Doom 64 the way Midway did, but Doom 64 the way it would have done.
it actually came out in 2008, and Kaizo is still bug fixing a whole lot of it though.
Oh right. Is it to do with Cabela's with the editors, difficult to use or something? Or?
I don't know. I haven't messed around with it. I know Pavera has somewhat of a start to a map set going for it, mm-hmm. but has run into a lot of issues trying to get things to work, and he's been working with Kaizo kind of bug fixing it, which I approve of, because it means by the time that I actually go to use it, all the kinks should be worked out, and I won't have to deal with any of that. But that's kind of where I think the main thing is that just how quirky Doom 64 is kind of limits people wanting to make stuff for it. That, and there just really isn't as big of a, like, a strict user base for it as there is, say, Doom.
Right.
Yes, let's not forget about his most worthy piece of work, which is, of course, Community Days Falling 3. he doesn't want to talk about it a lot because he's so modest. But, of course...
Well, Tonsman was actually playing some of Kaiser's other, his earlier works yesterday, as part of our celebration of Basic Design Day, which I won't get into now, but I guess you could do the research if you went up to his Twitch and had a look at his highlights, his very first ones. But he's very critical of his own work. I think he can often be seen commenting on Tarnsman's stream throughs of his works and saying, you know, that's not how it should be, or I rather regret doing this. Or he's very critical of his own works, and that's always to be admired, of course, in a level designer. Just how far it's come.
But which other mapper has allowed you to fight other community members in portrayal as giant bats and caterpillars?
I couldn't beat it, honestly. It's too long. it's intended to be ridiculous. It's long. I get that. But it's also it's too difficult, which I also guess is intended. Is it actually completable? Has anyone?
Oh yes, it is. But it's extremely hard.
All right. Okay. Fantastic.
Especially the boss fights, which are almost like a parody of the later, Zedum boss fights, which can be extremely tedious and long. And that's exactly what the boss fights in Community Days Falling 3 are.
Perhaps you could remind us as to what exactly the plot of that was. Who was the mastermind behind the whole of Community Days
Falling 3? Oh, well, Hobbs was.
Yeah, that's right.
Fucking Hobbs.
There's a lot of depth.
Hobbs was the original author of the he wasn't the original author of the CACO Awards. He did do a CACO Awards 1 year. I forget which one that was.
That was 2011. Then
2011.
He dropped the ball and disappeared for 2012, and there was that whole controversy.
Anyway, if you want to look up all of what Case has done, then you're best off, I mean, looking at more than just the article that was written up from it in the CAC Awards this year. You're better off speaking to Kaiser himself or to Quasar, honestly. Mm-hmm. He remarked on a couple of things that we missed there. But definitely do your research. It's give you a good look in, and there's a wealth of history there just in looking up this one individual. And of course, also one of the discussions that we came up with when we were talking about introducing the Lifetime Achievement Award was how it should be awarded. Because I mean, there are a heck of a lot of people who have done a lot of stuff, but and who we would want to give an award to, but might not necessarily have done anything that year, or should it even be put in annually as part of the CAC Awards. It should be its own separate thing for when someone say leaves the community, which clearly wasn't the case with Kaiser. You know, comes to the front again and puts out another great project, even though he's been doing that for the past 20 years or what have you.
It doesn't really seem like a every year type of award.
Right, yeah.
The Academy Awards have like an Oscar for a lifetime achievement, but that's only because there are so many actors and so many people. I mean, like for a community of our size, it may be like a every 2 years or maybe like every five.
Yeah, but then again, we have many people who will be worth the award. And actually, if you look at the discussion at the 2014 thread, it's basically the most lively point of discussion: who to award next. It's extremely popular.
Off the top of my head, I can think of five people like right now we could give the award to.
Right. I mean, the fact that we're pulling names out of the hat now, basically immediately after the CACOs have just come and gone, kind of suggests that it isn't really a thing that has anything to do with any yearly rotation. You know, just whoever you can think of giving it to, you might as well just hand them out en masse. So I think there could be an opportunity for a bit of reformatting there, and perhaps we'll stick with it. I guess we'll see. perhaps some individual will make the job a heck of a lot easier for us by you know, coming to the fore again and putting out some marvelous works and who's been in the community for so long.
You can award two people at once by changing the name of the award. For example, next year you can have a Eric Olm Award.
This is all very interesting. This is why we have these discussions. And so that was one half of the new features introduced. Sandu, of course, took over the multiplayer segment, and I feel if I were to talk any on the matter beyond that, saying that it was a new category introduced, then I would be doing it injustice. So perhaps Duke could take over there and talk about some of the new releases.
Last year, the situation was that at first, Ralphus was supposed to do the job, or he was asked to do it, but he didn't have the time. So Caesar took over, and well, Caesar, at his own words, he didn't have the full scope of the multiplayer community and all the works that have been put out that year. So he just awarded the project he knew about. And yeah, I was, of course, raging in the thread later on because that meant some of my favorite projects were snapped. I'm not saying they were superior to what Zazer chose, but they were worthy of an award, let's say that, because last year was a really strong year in the multiplayer community projects section. So basically, Caesar said, "Okay, let's have this done properly," and the award was widened to a full-fledged, full page with 3 full awards. And I think it's just right, because last year we had 3 extremely strong candidates, and just one of them was awarded.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and if you really wanted to, you could probably expand it even further, to be honest, because in a sense,
I'm not sure. I wouldn't go. No. I wouldn't go that far. No? I mean, you could just hand out awards, but you should still keep it like a. It should still be exclusive.
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, I wouldn't, even if we're capable of doing so, I don't think I'd expand it beyond the 3 that we've...
And, I mean, I had when the awards were, released, I had a discussion with some people, and they were like, why didn't you, mention this project or that project? And most of those were either incomplete, or I didn't think they were good enough. So basically, there's I don't know. If you just cap it at 3, I think that's plenty for the multiplayer community.
you could put in like a runner up if you really want.
Oh yeah, of course, yeah. I mean, last year I would probably have more candidates. I could name like 5. This year, I was at one point, I was like, do we even have 3 great words to award? Then some of them crept up, so yeah, I was fine with doing 3, but I think a full page with 3 awards is just what the multiplayer community deserved.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad everyone's satisfied then. By everyone, I mean do, because that's who we were trying to please, and in that respect, to sate his wrath.
Yes, that's the thing that multiplayer awards, it's just that it covers so much ground. Like, the main awards already split the gameplay award into a separate award. But in multiplayer awards, it's still like a kind of like crept together, because when you look at it, it's completely different projects. Uh-huh. So you can't even compare the projects together. Uh-huh. That's why I think, yeah, there should be more of those awards.
It's also interesting to note, I think, that it's handing out awards to multiplayer map sets requires actually, in order to judge whether or not they're actually worthy of award, requires you're actually good at deathmatch. in order to really, you know, test the waters of the new maps and see whether they're worth their salt. So it's not entirely a matter of subjectivity as it is the case, and as we all think it should be the case with the CAC awards themselves, the single player
material.
I mean,
I guess so.
I played on Idea, if that's how it's pronounced. I played on it with Dime. He thrashed me, and I mean, I'm shit at dueling. Okay, I can't do it. There's no way I'd be able to, you know, with my capability, really assess whether or not that was worthy of the award. So it's only right that I give it up to someone who can actually play Deathmatch or Duel or what have you.
Yeah, when you look at the map, it's really small and it's quite open. So you might wonder why I did that, because even some deathmatch players don't actually like the map. But it's quite a specific style, and there are really popular maps of that style already, like, being, well, staples of pretty much every server compilation. And when you just look at it, it's filled with ideas. That was a stupid pun, sorry. for how small the map is, like, everywhere you move, you have something interesting going on. And that's something I really like about the map. Like, it's not just a bare layout that works because you threw super shotguns everywhere. Mm-hmm. It actually works as a dynamic map with all the weapons that Doom provides, and it's just, well, fast.
Mm-hmm. So just to cap off there, for the multiplayer segment, again, we do have some stuff to get through. The awards were actually given to Idea, Samsara, and...
Samsara, let me just mention
that. Yeah,
let's
talk about those two quickly, I think.
Because, yeah, Samsara wasn't something I did, that was Zazer. Mm-hmm. Because I have no idea actually how Samsara is played, because I'm not a fan of these gameplay modifications. It's a class-based...
Which is incidentally what it was supposed to be put up for at first, and it was, for 2012, it was in the running for, it was a gameplay nomination award that shifted over to multiplayer.
Right.
Which I think Caesar even mentions in his article, but yeah.
Yeah, that's another thing that should be well mentioned. These gameplay modifications, they almost never end developing. Like, it's a problem just to award one, because you can see them changing so wildly over the time, and they don't seem to have like a big release candidates or. The developers stopping at one point and saying, okay, this is the version you should judge. Mm-hmm. So how do you even approach these modifications? I mean, Zentronum is full of them.
You mean in order to award them? You mean
because
the problem is something has to be essentially completed before you can hand out an award? I think that's actually an area where you have to reshape the CAC award slightly, which we actually kind of have done. Even last year there were... awards given to map sets that weren't even up on id Games yet. We're still
not in
beta, but we're definitely in thread form. I actually think that's a shift that needed to be made, especially in light of all these, especially this gameplay stuff. If anything comes out of the Zedum forums, it's bound to be incomplete for an eternity.
Well, sure, but these projects are in development as long as they are played actively. Like the developers of these projects, they react to what their game crowd wants.
Yeah, but that's like saying you can't award like an online FPS or a massively multiplayer game a best game award in like modern video gaming, because they're constantly being patched. Even though they're released and people have paid money for them, they're still constantly being patched.
Right. Yeah, but it presents a problem. Do you wait another year because it still seems raw and undone, and then it will just die out?
Well,
I mean,
if you look at it this way, then there's also the problem of shit. We may not even have enough stuff to award, because you know, there are some guarantees, and there are other guarantees as well. Except, you know, maybe it weren't for the fact that they're not necessarily complete in the sense. I mean, obviously, this doesn't extend to stuff like Stomper, which got a runner-up, which was actually released as incomplete, or incomplete, rather, language. Mm. So, that's Samsara, but, I mean, do you have anything to say about Aeon Deathmatch? I guess that was another one, that was your pick as well.
Yeah, that was my pickup, and it's a FFA map set, and it was actually released one day before the deadline.
Oh, wow.
So
we're talking about struggling for selections, wow.
No, actually, it was a map set I knew about that was in development for many years. But, yeah, it just came, the release actually came out so random that I was glad it came out because, yeah, I had my eye on it for a long time. But, as you say, it kind of put a thorn out of my heel because...
Interesting phrase.
I was kind of wondering what to word as the third one.
Uh-huh. Well, there you are. Yeah, I think if Dude's finished up on that topic, then we finished up on that topic, essentially. I mean,
sure.
Anything else to add there?
What was idea? Did we cover idea?
Yeah.
Welcome to the conversation, Matt.
How you doing?
I don't know, I just zoned out with all this multiplayer talk.
I can relate. And if I weren't the host, I'd be running for the hills. So there we are. Since we're discussing new features and stuff, something has been mentioned on the IRC at the moment by Minigunner, which we'll scroll back up to quickly. He says that, what do you think about the idea of a Best Artist Award, for example, for the most notable audio graphical MIDI artist, for example? I mean, we do have a few MIDI artists, although I think one of the complaints in response to such suggestion put on the forums was that, you know, there actually aren't that many. You would find MIDIs who keep giving it out to the same.
No, I agree with that criticism, and also I think that's the kind of thing that comes in a lifetime achievement award because textures and all that. Unfortunately, it's always going to be one of those unsung like. Nobody really gets the thanks they deserve for it. Mm-hmm. But definitely,
it's like lighting in a film. You don't notice it unless it's shit.
Yes, it is. It's like lighting in a film. Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, and also no one's going to create a like best programmer award because, you know, like if you make a utility, it lasts long and then there's not really too many, like, say, source port writers or, like, they're still maintained by people, and there's still every once in a while a new utility has to be written or changed for like another operating system or platform that comes out. So it's like, I guess the lack of nominatable people would kind of be a factor in not creating an award for such a.
Let's say this way.
Pretty much.
These people, they just get their credit in all the text files.
Yeah.
Pretty much how I look at it is it's definitely something that, like, if you want to talk about lifetime achievement awards, the people like Cage and Essel who have provided more textures and resources and whatnot for the community.
These are the things that gets considered, right? Yeah, I mean.
Yeah. That's more like a lifetime achievement. Like, that's their contribution. It's not really like a yearly thing. Mm-hmm.
Ignore that O. That was...
Yes, no. Don't ignore that O. Let's actually talk about that for a moment. To talk about the sort of staff we have here on Doom Radio, okay? Yesterday, when we were supposed to be doing this goddamn thing, we were ready, raring to go, that Matt said very sensibly, okay, I'd just like to do a little bit more research. What happens about 20 minutes ago, okay? Now, 20 minutes ago from now, Tonsman says, oh shit, what was awarded? Let me play it quickly. So there we have it, and no more shall be said on the matter. But look, I mean, the programmers and the texture artists, I guess. Well, I mean, certainly the programmers are, but not necessarily the texture artists. I mean, they all, as Tonsman rightly says, that they this all stuff all gets accounted for when it comes to lifetime achievement. At least that's what we will be doing for future. But they're not entirely unsung because, I mean, even the CAC Awards this year, we had some side blurbs that were dedicated to the release of, you know, for example, Fraggle's new Chocolate Doom 2.0, which as it says here, boasts Heretic Hex and the Strife support. So, I mean, this is all wonderful stuff. And the site is already full of rules like that, so they can sing the praises of anything with those issues.
And also, while we're mentioning Fraggle, get in touch with me or Alfonso. I want you for the next episode of Knee Deep in the Code.
That's right. Yeah. Also plug in that program.
Call me.
But actually, this is a pretty good segue onto the actual CAC Awards themselves, which we finally get to discuss now.
Yes.
Since, I mean, I drew the comparison of lighting technicians there, but really Back to Saturn X is a project where you can just ogle at the textures and just praise them for them, you know, for what they're worth in and of themselves. A worthy CAC Award, I don't think anyone would doubt that. It was branded onto my brain as a shoe-in pretty much the moment it was released, and even before that, if that's even allowed. No, it's not, but pretend I didn't say that. not that it has been, strictly speaking, released. What can we say about Back to Saturn X in the light of its being awarded something this year that hasn't been said already at all?
It's shit. And
of Christ's
really
sake, tell us.
And you really, really fucked up and really need to abjugate that fuck up and sincerely apologize to the Doom community.
Right. I suspected as much. Perhaps you can give us some insight. I mean, we've talked, Tansman and I, of course, we did an episode of Where's All the Data discussing Back to Saturn X extensively, so I guess you guys could go back and have a listen to that if you're keen on our opinions in more depth, since there's so much stuff to get through today. But do you have any opinions on that you'd like to voice about Back to Saturn X while you're here? And Matt, I guess, for that matter.
Well, I don't really, because one of the reasons I didn't want to get involved with CAC Awards was actually because I'm playtesting so much of these projects that I have fingers like in one, two, I guess three, four projects on the list.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm biased all the way. You can blame me for Back to Saturn X being shit because I was the guy normalizing the difficulty and everything,
shall we do
the gameplay.
You're the guy removing all the fun parts. Thanks.
Yes.
You.
Yes. Because I didn't want the bad maps to look that bad, so I made the fun maps shitter.
Yeah, pretty much.
I think we should leave it at that. I think don't let Dewey say anything else. Just leave it as it is. Matt, anything to add for this awarding of Back to Saturn X?
No, I mean, like it definitely received an award simply because of its makes it seem like it's almost political, but it received an award because of its atmosphere, its new graphics, its theming, and just by its sheer technical standpoint. All of these maps run in vanilla Doom. It's not only a technical achievement, but it's also a real work of a lot of mappers handpicked out of the community to participate in something that could potentially be quite momentous, and it definitely is.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely
the production
is.
Values,
and
really, we're just
yes.
too damn high.
Yeah, and but mappers were not the only people selected. Musicians were also selected to contribute, and I believe maybe a couple of additional artists.
I'm pretty sure that every musician made a map for Back to Saturn X. Anybody
yeah.
who provided music for it has a map in it.
Yeah.
I don't think... I think Stuboy doesn't have a map.
Oh, yeah, Harpreter.
Yeah.
Yes, Stuboy doesn't
have
a map.
And Jimmy's is only in the second episode. But I guess you can get that.
That still counts as a map.
All right, I'm just trying to make you more wrong as well. Okay.
No, but he definitely contributed a lot to music, and so did Primeval. He was also a big contributor to... music, I believe, if I remember correctly. So it kind of is like an achievement in getting all of these people to work on some kind of complete product.
There we go. rounded off nicely, I think. Yeah, I mean, it's a no-brainer. If anything, it's the no-brainer of this year's CAC Awards. I don't think there's going to be any controversy surrounding that. Like, I can't believe you put Baxanax instead of someone named a shit map set. So there you are.
Hellbound.
Ooh, there's the controversy.
Shots fired!
We'll get to that stuff when we get into the rounds up, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, there has been a lot of discussion surrounding why didn't Hellbound get an award and its variant and sister. Why didn't Concerned get an award? So those are the two.
That would be a later topic in this broadcast.
This broadcast, absolutely. Doom 2 the way it is the next one, and I'll there's a lot of discussion after the completion of the first one as to whether the same the nitty gritty approach to sort of nitpicking and all those technicalities that surrounds, you know, Sandy's design and just the design of Doom 2 in general, whether that could be applied to Doom 2 as it could in the case of the first one, because it seemed to some people to be very up in the air. A lot more difficult to define, I think. But if anything, I mean, obviously speaking as a project leader, so, you know, prone to bias and all that, but I do think we did a much better job with the second one we did the first. I'm well aware that the sort of elation that I feel now after its eventual release is pretty similar to the elation I felt at the release of the first, so I'm pretty sure things will crop up that I'll look back today upon it and say, okay, yeah, we could have done X and Y differently. I mean, that's always going to be the case. These things are always going to fall through the cracks, but putting all that stuff aside, I mean, is it fun to play? That's the main thing. You know, even if it isn't playing like Doom 2, that's going to make it a worthy map set. And so I think the general consensus is that it's that seems to be the case. And so it's worthy on that grounds.
It's kind of, I guess it's the second coming of those projects that that people, they use another set of mappers, design patterns and choices, and they kind of replicate them in a new work for like just that kind of like that nostalgic feel for a Doom 2 maps, and I think it accomplishes that rather well.
I would actually say that Doom 2, the way I did it, was closer to Doom 2 than the first part. Well, I could be biased because I don't like Doom 1 that much.
Is anyone here not biased at all? Is there any bias?
I'm not biased. I think Doom 2 the way it did was garbage, and you guys fucked up the game of war.
That's still a bias. No, but I mean... Bias hopefully makes the radio show interesting.
I was really impressed by the amount of thought that went into the project. And basically, I think it got more into detail and into the, little defining bits of the maps that really, characterized the style of all the three mappers. So I would actually say the project is closer to the original than the first one.
Mm. Remember, I'm going to say it's more Doom 2 than Doom 2, which would have put me in a bit of a rut. Not sure if I think it would have been silent for the next 5 minutes trying to contemplate what that meant.
More Doom 2 than Doom 2.
Kind of reminds me of when Elvis Presley
was more annoying than Doom 2.
An Elvis Presley impersonation competition and came third. I'm not exactly sure when that happened, but Inception. Let's steer away from that. Moving on to Unholy Realms now. Which I think many people regard as a no-brainer.
I was waiting for this Megawad to be released, like since Snakes Brian Knox said or announced that he was working on a Megawad, and from what he was showing in terms of screenshots, it looked really interesting, and it was kind of a you could see like he was experimenting with different like layouts and styles, and it was kind of like it was kind of similar to how I was putting together Coffee Break, one of mine, by potentially Megawads that ended up being a truncated set of 11 maps. But it was I'm just glad somebody finally finished and went through with their multi-theme Megawad, and it is very, very fun, and I enjoyed playing it muchly.
Very much.
Muchly.
Yeah. I have to admit, I was genuinely concerned for his well-being. I mean, it reads like a joke in the article, but seriously. He threatened to shut himself into his room and lock the door with just tubs of ice cream and Cracker Jacks and what have you and just go crazy. And I thought, you know, would he come out, a different man? Or would he come out alive? Or just 200 pounds heavier? I really like the map set for its size, the actual size of its maps. And it's very Almian.
Eric Alm. Yeah.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. In that, it's,
I'm calling it Scythish.
Scythish.
Very,
yeah,
Scythish.
That's a better word, I think. A piece of Almian produce. Yeah, it's centered around frenetic combat, and then the entire map seems to be molded around that idea. So yeah, it's very, very punchy. One map goes into the next, and I, for that reason, I think it has a lot of replay value, honestly. Although I have remarked, maybe do. Or have heard, rather, maybe Duke can back me up on this, or just say it to be false, that some speedrunners have sort of expressed dislike towards it in some respects. Or did I just?
I'm not sure. I haven't heard about that because, well, there's technically some of the maps have these Gusta-like way too easy shortcuts, I'd say. But I don't know if someone really complained about that.
Okay. I don't know where I got that from, honestly. Oh, well, there you are. Well, dispelled. It makes the project appear even better. Tarnsman, you and I, of course, played through it, not cooperatively, but we were both, you know, saw the maps at the same time and experienced them that way. I mean, we both had our misgivings about it, but, I mean, you would support this decision,
Yeah, absolutely. I do think that it drags a lot in places, but, you know, that's kind of a minor gripe, I would say. Like, it's never boring. I'd say that some levels are just a tad bit longer than I would have liked them, but other than that, I think it's a well-put-together map set, despite a couple of visual misgivings and, you know, minor gripes that, you know, nothing's ever perfect, so...
Does anyone honestly think that actually, have the sort of longevity that
I would actually say towards that it's definitely not a map set that's even like geared towards continuous gameplay. And I mean even just like and by continuous I just mean even just quitting the map, just exiting it and starting the new one with Pistol Touch right behind it and just going through the whole map set like that. It's just supposed to be played exactly like Matt's coffee break. Like as long as you're having fun, you should play it. As long as once you just stop having fun, you should just quit it and come back 1 week later, something like that. There's no interconnection between the levels. It's just all about getting a piece of action.
Yeah. I definitely think it succeeds at that.
Mm-hmm. So you would say it's sort of maps that where you could say on any given day you could go, oh, I feel like a bit of
map 23.
Feel like a bit of map 23.
Yeah, pretty much. No, I definitely think it succeeds in that aspect.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Yeah, I think it will last well into the future in some form. I think it will be. Although I call it a classic, I'm not sure it will be regarded as a classic in future, and along the same lines of Alien Verdere and that sort of jazz. But
yeah, it's a little too early to call it a classic. We'd have to see it still be regarded in the future.
You can use the word classic in two different senses, I guess. You can call it a sort of classic design, but you can't call it a classic.
No.
And that's, I think, what we can settle for. On to page two now, the top 10 of the CAC Awards 2013. The Zedum community, or is that Zedome if you're across the Atlantic, community map project Take Two, which Tarnsman barely managed to get through because of those damn flesh spawns, which reminded him of Protozoans.
What? No, I got through it.
You did, but I mean, no, that's right. No, we were playing through it. You were playing through it, and you said, can someone please give me an edition of this that doesn't have those things in them?
But that was not because of that. That was because they're just fucking annoying enemies that would take like 400% of my health.
You can see my computer.
We are talking about the. We are talking about the the Duke Nukem. 3DS.
No. We're talking about the the flying mouth things that Vader made.
Yes, yes, which resemble those things. That's what I'm saying. That's my thought. Yeah.
No, they kind of do, but no, those don't bother me. They're annoying because they're like more annoying lost souls.
Anyway, let's talk about the map itself, Shay.
I don't like it.
You don't like it? Okay, very good. We have Starmer can start off. The first disagreement here.
I just think it's pretty meh. I mean, yeah, it looks good, and it's got, like, a theme, and the PDA is that atmosphere, but, like, overall, it just doesn't really wow me. There's some cool parts to it, but we've talked about just how saturated the Doom community is, and in terms of like gameplay, it was really run of the mill. Nothing really stood out to me as anything more than just like it felt like a showcase of Z Doom. And it's like, okay, well, this would be really cool in like 2007, but not so much now. Well, especially coming after like a year where we had stuff like Winter's Fury, and in the same year as Pirate Doom, it just kind of felt pretty eh.
Okay, I can see that, yeah. I think the, I mean, the main point that I think really needs to be discussed here is the fact is it's one gimmick, which is that it's, you know, one map comprised multiple different authors, and more than just multiple. I was actually impressed by it to the extent that it could suppress the flaws that you would expect to come about from having multiple authors working on one project. It was clearly very flawed, which I think I touched upon a little bit.
But the fact that it's by multiple authors kind of loses merit to me, knowing that Zazer and Vader and whatnot all went in and did touch-ups to the entire map as a whole. It's not like those were all areas untouched made by one person each. Like, somebody went in and did touch-up and, you know, fixed cohesion and made it more of a thing. So that kind of loses some of the, you know, awe factor right there.
I must confess, I didn't play the second community map project, the one that's won an award this year, but I did play the first one, and the first one was kind of like that suffered from a heterogeny of different styles and additions and styles of gameplay and stuff. And if I were to say play this one, would you say that stuff still exists?
No, this one's definitely a lot more uniform.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But kind of the detriment I find to it is that because it had that like polishing phase where everything came and got touched up, like it makes it feel more generic, and it's a decent map, but it just...
I don't know. I think it's always going to be impossible when you have that many authors to suppress the sort of the individual. I mean, unless you're, you know, mapping for Backset next. Oh, boy.
Ha, 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 yeah. No. There's just a certain level of polish you can go through and do. Especially, like, it's not that hard. You know, Doom maps are only lines and sectors and stuff. If somebody goes back through and fixes a bunch of stuff that they consider broken, it's not that hard to make something all feel like one person did it.
I imagine maybe you don't have an opinion on this. Have you played it?
No, I haven't played it.
I didn't think so.
Sorry.
Well, that's that. Matt, did you want to elaborate further?
Not really, as I, you know, as also again, confess, you have, I have played it. But I mean, like, I will definitely give it a try if what you say is true and that it's it's been not smoothed over, but it's a lot of it's the flaws of the first project have been kind of corrected
to hear what you say about that one.
Polished would be the word maybe I'm looking for.
Very good. So let's see, the next up on the list is, drum roll, Fuel Devourer, which Tarnsman has no idea what it is. Doesn't surprise me in the least.
Actually, I do know what it is. It's a single map.
You've played it
by
just
two
now.
Members
That's right.
of the Russian community.
Yes. Which is actually quite bustling. I'm actually glad that there's like a whole nother world of.
Oh, there are several.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm just, it makes me really happy.
Yeah.
Anyways, but it's basically one of those nice examples of when something should be a single map.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
in
I don't
the
think...
same vein as the Eye from last year?
Yeah, in the same vein as the Eye, absolutely. I don't think it would benefit at all from being in a Megawad. I think it works as a start and end. Like, it has a middle, beginning, end. Everything cohesively flows together. But unlike the Eye, it doesn't work in that, like, you're on a very clear journey. It's a very non-linear, interconnected base. Mm-hmm. So it's like the other way that you can do that reason to have a single map, where with the Eye, you have that whole end goal, and you're just working there the whole way, and you don't have to worry about anything else. With this, it's more like you need to figure out, first off, where to go at the start, which way actually gets you weapons. It's kind of a sandy sandbox design in that sense, even though it's mostly hallways. Yep. But overall, yeah, I'd say it's a pretty good map.
Mm-hmm. I think that's pretty pretty sound conclusion, actually. I mean, it clearly differs from the Eye in that. I mean, we talk about the Eye's visuals and stuff like that. And honestly, I think Fuel Devourer is a map. Did I say it was by? I mean, specifically, I mean, it's by Archie.
It's by Archie and C-something.
C4TNT.
Yeah. C4TNT, yeah.
That's right. I think it's actually quite... it's not bad to look at. It's a bit bland. I mean, it's not to my taste. But, I mean, the map's really one that stands up on the way that it progresses and how you play through it and the gameplay in that respect. There's this wonderful moment at the end where I'm just... we talk... Tom's and I like to slag off Baron usage and the like, but there's this wonderful moment at the end where you're cornered by a fleet of them, essentially. I guess that's not the right collective noun, but I'm going to use it anyway. Just pretend they're flying or something, or on water. You have the Berserk, and then they're cornering you down hallways. And that, I mean, just, it sounds like something that wouldn't particularly appeal to many people, but just the way in which the map's put together and how it's very frugal and have to manage your resources makes that kind of thing enjoyable to me. I'm not a sucker for that sort of gameplay. Although I should note that it was actually KMX's selection, in that he was the one who put it forward, and I hadn't actually played it at the time, and then I went back and I said, yeah, okay, I can see that being a definite contender. So well done to those two chaps. I think it's a good map.
Mm-hmm. I would actually want to point out that I haven't played the map because I think it came quite late in throughout the year, and it came out as a map for the first demo competition, which is something the Russians have mastered an extreme degree.
Mm.
Basically, the maps for this competition are meant to be played by recording your first attempt to play the map. So basically, record every death, every fuck up you make as you progress along. So they have to be really carefully balanced. There shouldn't be extremely cruel traps. There shouldn't be, well, parts that are too hard to get through. They are supposed to be, good for a race. And that's extremely delicate balance, mm-hmm. I would say. That's an achievement of its own. And that these guys actually made the map look so nice, that's quite impressive.
We have a few things to learn from the Russians.
And I would also have to say that I am a speedrunner, but I definitely can't compete in this type of competition. It just frustrates me to no end.
It's from what I understand, is a competition where people make a map and then people just players just go into blind, right?
Yes, the map is released as a complete unknown map at a given time, and you are given a short amount of time. And, well, you have to start, everyone has to start playing it at the same moment.
Oh.
And then you just, play through, and when you finish, you upload your demo of your playthrough. And whoever, finishes first, wins the race. And it doesn't matter if you, well, die 23 times and then you just blitz through, or you just take it carefully and you finish with your careful run. The total time wins. But this is what totally frustrates me to no end, because I know I'm actually, whatever I do, I'm racing against some guys out there who might be using a smarter strategy than me. And I just can't cope with this. It's and the Russians are extremely well heavy on this thing, and I find it admirable. So it's time they got worded for this one.
Mm. Yeah.
Well said. Hear, hear. Bells and whistles. thing. Kuchitsu.
You're a little bit more enthusiastic about it.
Or anything. Kuchitsu.
Yeah, bells and whistles, whatever.
Is the first award given out, or rather, the award that was given to Kuchitsu, is the first award that was given out to a map set whereby the author denounced it. Or rather, he said, I don't want this award. I mean, he has to get it anyway, so fuck that.
And this is Kuchitsu?
Yeah, by Memphis. Memphis, yeah. Trust in Memphis. So, if I were to take a look at Tanzman's stream at the moment, I would hazard a guess, since I know that he hasn't played Kuchitsu.
I don't know what you're talking about, because I have, but whatever.
In the last, okay, yeah, I'm not gonna go there. So perhaps Tanzman, since he played it so freshly, could give us an opinion.
It's a thing. It's
why we have you on this program.
you wanted an opinion, and that's my opinion. It's a thing. It's a nice little map set. It's definitely, I could see why Memphis would say it's not worthy. In terms of, like, it's not something that sets out to be super impressive, or
right.
You know, it's just kind of coffee break style. Just I want, you know, little short maps that aren't that difficult, that you can just play through. It's fun. There's some weird stuff, like one of the maps has half of a Doom 2 the Way It Did submission in it, that I think was Memphis's submission, so, I mean, that's fine, since it didn't make the final cut. But, you know, I can't really praise it like Coffee Break. It's little, it's fun, it doesn't try to be overly ambitious, does what it wants to do, and that's about it. Yesterday we talked about, like, when I load up a Memphis map, I have certain expectations, and this is, like, a prime example of it. Like, if you want to play a Memphis map that's a little bit less difficult than his normal maps, but will still occupy, you know, an hour or so of your time to get through all six of them, however long, you know, I definitely would recommend it. I think that KMX is right in saying that, you know, it's one of the more inoffensive things that came out this year. Like, while there's nothing, like, wowing about it, there's nothing wrong at the same time. It's one of those things,
right,
where, you know, you're playing through it and you can't say, like, anything gameplay-wise bugs you or annoys you, or, you know, you're upset with certain decisions. Mm-hmm. Like, in all the other awards, like Unholy Realms or Back to Saturn X, yeah, there's tons of moments where I can say, you know, gameplay-wise, ugh, I really don't like this. But, it's one of those things where I think it just works as what it wants to be. And, it brings something that the Doom community needs more of, and that's things that aren't overly ambitious.
Right. Okay. I'm going to break the ice here and just say that, this was KMX's suggestion as well, and I went on and played it. I didn't actually personally think, I should say that I was in doubt necessarily when it went up for an award.
Mm.
But I think it does serve as an excellent reminder that the CAC awards should be monopolized by things that have an excellent production quality. I mean, rather than things that are just fun. I mean, you can see where Memphis' confusion comes from. He wasn't, like Tanzman said, he wasn't aiming for it to be wowing or anything. And KMX's response was simply, well, it's fun. I mean, suck it up. I found it fun.
Yeah.
That's why it's going in. You know, I mean, it's not flashy. Again, it's not aiming to be anything big. And I think that's where some of the confusion comes from, but not from Memphis and from others.
Yeah. But I mean, like, the flashiness only, I mean, at the very worst, flashiness masks a the flaws in gameplay to a certain extent, or like would seek to make up for something that doesn't play terribly well. But I mean, you know, credit has to be given to the work that is just like is fun to play. And yeah,
no, I absolutely agree. And yeah. Again, Flash, like production quality, how like with a map, it's, you know, you talk about production quality, and I really don't think you can look at that in Doom, because there's like how many line depths something has or how complex it is really isn't the same as production quality, because, you know, how Doom works, Doom 2 the way it did, you would argue, has low production quality because, you know, it looks crappy in terms of what, you know, most people consider to be good visual design. Mm-hmm. But that's not what it was going for. When we talk about production quality in Doom, I think it's more important to talk about whether or not the map set succeeds at being an engaging experience for X amount of time.
Yeah.
Nothing more in regards to how
and
many.
Engaging is a very good word to use as well, because it captures more than just the gameplay. It, you know, it captures.
Yeah, no, not everything is awarded because it's the most fun to play. I mean, I've often criticized Back to Saturn X's gameplay as being pretty, you know, run of the mill, but I think that it's made up for with the atmosphere and visuals and overall sense of journey, and that can be applied to other things too as well. Suspended in Dusk's gameplay isn't that interesting, but Espy does a great job in that map set of making it feel like an adventure. Same with the Shrine in Eternal Doom 4. Things like that, to where it's not always about, you know, is shooting stuff and dodging things the most fun activity, but how engaged are you while playing the map set? And I think that while often, you know, when people think, you know, what's going to win a CAC award, they think the thing that visually looks the most impressive is what's going to win it, versus just what does the best job at being entertaining for, you know, X amount of time. And I think that that's we'll get to it, but we talk about Hellbound and why a lot of people are upset that it's not a winner. Well, that's a prime example of why I think that this deserved it over something like Hellbound, because it succeeds at being dumb fun for like an hour. And it's a great example of that, and there's really not enough of that in the Doom community.
Yeah, if it lasts for an hour, did you really, really enjoy that hour? And if you did, it's something good.
Yeah.
Here's one more thought about Kuchitsu. Well, you have to also recognize that Memphis is pumping out these maps for the whole year.
Yeah,
it's basically
it's a machine.
It's not just about Kuchitsu itself. It's basically just dumping out the exact style of these maps the whole year. And if he just collected them in a megawatt, well, he would have half a megawatt in a year, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I really like the fact that he's. Like, with every single map that he releases, he doesn't stick it up on, like, id Games, the id Games archive, and calls it a day. He goes to the community. He goes to the forums and says, right. Okay, guys, what do you think of this map? Or what do you think of this map? Or and stuff like that. So
and they're all a similar style. So they could be simply collected in, a bigger work that would just be cohesive enough. But, yeah, he just throws it around like that. So the way I think about it, KMX just awarded his biggest project of the year, but what he had in mind was basically the mass of the work he has done in the whole year.
No, absolutely, but I think that the part of the reason why Memphis, why it works, though, is because of, like, the formatting. Like, Back to Saturn X would be a 3-hour movie, whereas Memphis's maps would be like a newspaper comic. You're gonna enjoy it, but it's something that works in that format. I think it works when Memphis releases them in these small, like, it's something that works best when distributed this way. I think it's like just the right size for you to have a nice little bundle and be like, okay, I can enjoy that. in and of itself, and then, you know, go on to something else.
Yeah, I mean, just there was more to the prize for Memphis than just Kuchitsu. It was basically, he deserved it for the whole year of his work. And it is bad that he just doesn't want to realize this.
It's actually an interesting way of looking at it that, you know, KMX essentially gave the award to Memphis and his work this year, but needed to, you can't give it to the person. You know,
I mean, Memphis hasn't done, I mean, he probably wasn't the mapper of the year, but he deserved an award.
And yeah.
I would say that.
Hold on a second. Hold on one moment. I have to do something with my phone. We'll edit this part out in post. One moment.
Now we'll keep it in. Matt Trippiano is with us in the
studio. Oh, no. Okay, well, just give me 1 minute. 1 minute.
That's okay. We'll give him 1 minute. In the meantime, we'll talk about Forsaken Overlook before we give him the opportunity to talk about, his own map set. I actually played it way back when it was first released, which is much earlier in the year, of course, and I actually had to be reminded of its existence. Well, not of its existence, but of how good it was, let's say, because I knew it existed. By KMX, once again, for the third time in a row. Geez, I'm looking incompetent here. And once I got back to playing it, I thought, yeah, no-brainer number three in my book, and it was a shoo-in. Since you're back, Matt, perhaps you can talk us through this map. And it was released as a standalone as part of the Brian Knox's Secret Santa project.
Yes.
Yes.
So, yes.
Correct.
So, yeah, Snakes, Brian Knox, aforementioned, the author of Unholy Realms that also won an award this year. He also started this project called the Secret Santa community project. And what that was basically anybody who wanted to participate in the project received another participant to emulate or imitate for their contribution. So it was, I joined because I felt that I needed to maybe get out of my comfort zone a little bit and try to maybe make something in a different style or whatever, and I must admit that I was kind of hoping for somebody similar to my style, whatever the hell my style is, but similar to how I make maps, and the other one was like I was dreading getting somebody that made really really large maps because I'm pretty sure everyone knows at this point how much I don't really like Community Chest 3 Map 29 for We Are Many, and that was like
Jesus,
large.
Jesus, on and on about it all the time.
I mean, it's like how much I didn't really like making that because I felt it was made with a just a different. I felt it was like too indulgent or whatever, but like it was like forced and a little bit uninspired in places. But as it turns out, I did get Looping's Castman or Chris Cassip, who made these, who actually favors really, really, really large maps and really spacey maps and where the player has a lot of room to move. And I'm like, oh God. I dreaded actually making something for it because I was like, I'm never going to succeed. But since I kind of... I felt like it was definitely a challenge. So, you know, I didn't moan about who I got. I just, you know, I was like, how the heck am I going to make this work? Because it isn't really easy making a large map. And you run into issues like how to place monsters or whatever. You don't want to put in, like, piles of monsters and, like, just, you know, leave it to the player to... super shotgun his or her way through it, and it would be boring. So I took a significant amount of time to figure out a good way to kind of meld his style with mine, and kind of like I used two maps that he made as the closest inspiration, which would be his two contributions to Community Chest 4, I believe. I think it was map 21 and 22, something like that.
20 and 21, sorry.
And those were, like, really, really huge maps, but, like, they were, they kind of also had, like, little set pieces in them, and then they were just, like, really, 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 like big marvels to behold, and I was like, oh my god, I have to make something similar to this, and I was like, maybe he made something smaller, and I looked through his past history, and they're still kind of spacious, and then I remember he also did the secret level to Community Chest 3, I think, and that was, I think it was 3. Was it 3? It was either 3 or 2.
What
I think it was 3.
Involve? I'm thinking of...
It was called Disarming the Mechanism.
Yes, yes, I was about to say, is it another bomb dismantling again?
Yeah, but yeah, you had like a half an hour or so to...
Agent X performing a VO task for the... Yep.
Yeah, like his contention was that his maps didn't really, his older maps didn't really...
have a story.
Have a story. It didn't have, like, his
That's
style.
From his own mouth, by the way. When we interviewed him, he openly admitted to saying that he wants his maps to kind of have a story.
Well, yeah, and I'm like, so I also kind of used that as well. Like, I always got the impression that he wanted a narrative to each one of his maps and his older maps, though he said, like, it didn't really have his style or whatever. But I disagreed with that because they were still that same spacious, like, style. Right. So I put that little thing in the beginning where I have kind of like a little bit of a story, like that. You got to find the Sword of Power, and here's a little artifact to help you on your way, like kind of like that. And people thought that he made the map at first, and like that was like, oh, that good. Maybe I actually nailed it.
Well, you worked with Jackson anyway, so I'm pretty sure you slipped into that mold.
A little bit, but I mean, Doom's gameplay is way different from Hexen's.
I mean, in terms of coming up with the silly casting story, which you could.
Oh, maybe, yeah. Like, I definitely kind of was like, oh, how do I, you know, make a little bit of like a like how do I set the scene properly? And so, you know, Forsaken Overlook is me imitating Chris Kassip.
Wow. And there we have it. You know, yeah. I always kind of got the impression that one was never too concerned about how their map turned out with respect to imitating, the other mapper. And it was really just that was the tool with which you were working when you were creating a map. Once it was all over, you could just be pleased with the map as a whole.
Yeah, and I kind of also said that it would be more interesting. also,
you're blessed.
Thank you.
God bless. Not
Black
you.
Plague, do you, or anything, Tonsman?
No.
So I also made the the suggestion to Brian that maybe people should write down a little blurb or like a couple of paragraphs about their process with trying to make a map in another person's style. Like, I mean, even if other people didn't do it, I still was going to do it in the end because like I thought it would be kind of an interesting thing to add.
Right,
and so
absolutely.
Yeah, so I tossed in another text file with the archive of its release with my kind of like my thought process as I went through it, and it's also findable on my website, complete with additional screenshots of the map at different places. So
fun
I mean,
idea. Yeah.
Yeah, so I was like, it was definitely a great experience, and I feel it has helped me grow in skill as a map designer of sorts. And I didn't think it would win any awards, but I'm kind of glad it did.
Very good. Then we have Dude. Did you say anything about have you played the map recently? Anything to comment?
Sorry, no.
Well, you can make them on your tasks. Right, so moving on to the next, very much the hero of the hour, or the CAC Awards, I could just say, is Ribbix, and his first major release of the year, which is Stardate 20X6, which Tonson and myself played.
Yeah, Stardate 20XD6.
20XD6, as Tonson may have said, and it's not a postal address, I was very surprised to find out, you know, I was prepared.
No, it's a... if I remember correctly, it's a Homestar Runner.
That's right. Straight from his own mouth. That's correct. And of course, it wowed us all at the time, for its visuals at the very least. Although I'm sure I have to tread lightly here, because Tonsman's about to shout my left ear, like, you didn't like it that much! Because he read my article, and he's like, are you sure you're not just sort of bullshitting the artistry right here? But I guess that's just the mode of the award writing, and anything that I do say is truthful, if slightly embellished. But that's the case with anything, I think, when you're running for these awards, and you're trying to hand out praise. So Tomsman and I, certainly Tomsman's acutely aware of the flaws, and perhaps he could talk a little bit about Stardate 20X6 to kick us off.
It's a thing. No, Stardate is...
I swear we should have you fired.
Well, too bad you can't. I'll have a 7-year contract. But, Stardate's one of those map sets, I think, that really succeeds at being stylish. I agree that it does have some really great visuals. I also agree that it has... I also disagree that it has some visuals that I'm not a gigantic fan of, but I think
Okay.
I do not like it all. I think Stardate is pretty flawed, but I think it definitely succeeds at being interesting, which is always something that I think more than makes up for flaws, especially when we're talking about Doom and 20 years of playing the same thing over and over and over again. There's a certain degree of experimentalism and interestingness that really carries something far more than it would, like, if it wasn't for the visual style. I think that Stardate, honestly, would not be something I would consider one of the best map sets of the year. I think that the unique visuals that make it so interesting to look at definitely contribute to it being so enjoyable to play, which I think it is. I think it is a enjoyable map set to play. The gameplay, I feel, gets really boring and sloggy in the last two maps, unfortunately. But beyond that, I think it definitely succeeds at being... enjoyable to play aside from that. Like, it's a slaughter map set, but it doesn't get too slaughtery in terms of it's difficult, but you don't feel like you're killing 700 million monsters.
Right. It evades a lot of the trappings of slaughter gameplay, I think, which is probably its biggest burn in the gameplay department. But, I go to a lot of length when I'm talking about Rivix's maps, both this and Save the Worlds, and as we'll get to later, the Mapper of the Year award. In talking about how he helps to pioneer this sort of, I guess it's not entirely new movement because of architecture being paired with Hard Slaughter. I mean, because we've seen stuff like Deus Vault, of course, so it's been around in a sense for a while. Although you never really get that many big showcases of it in the form of Stardate and Swim of the Whales. So I think he's one of the new mappers who's come forward to really usher in this style as a major sort of major player. If that makes any sense. But having said that, actually, KMX, after it came out, of course, he didn't write up anything on Rubik's, and I'm sure he would have said some things that differed from my own opinion on the man. And he said that actually, and I kind of think that those two, that being strong architecture and slaughter style gameplay, those are inextricable. They're actually one is meant to result from the other. So in a sense, what Rivix is doing is kind of inevitable in a way. I mean, not to take any credit away from him whatsoever, because there's still a heck of a lot of room to develop your own visual style. But when you're working with slaughter maps, but when you're dealing with placing shit tons of monsters in large spaces, creating large architectural wonders in order to encompass them, it's sort of a no-brainer, if you see what I mean. So perhaps there is an argument to say that, in one sense, Rubik's is sort of edging towards a mold that's already been predestined by this sort of game style. But still, focusing heavily on color and the way that he does it, I think, is something that I should regard as unique to Rubik's alone.
Sunder.
Sunder.
Beehive level.
Sunder, yeah, I guess.
And there was that Obsidian level. In fact, I would honestly say that a lot of Ribbix's design is straight out lifted from map 14 of Sunder.
No, but I would still regard Ribbix's style as his own.
I would.
Like, outer-worldly.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, okay. I mean, there's definitely comparison that can be drawn, but like I say, I think that's because, in a sense, those two styles sort of...
The way he uses color highlights, the red wall one edit, is straight out of a Sunder map. Like, a Sunder map already did that, Sunder map 14. Mm-hmm. Like, flat out, exactly those inlets. We even commented on it when we were talking about map 1 of Stardate, how it had those...
Right, but it's still an evolution of it, because actually when I think of Sunder, foremostly what I think of is actually, yes, bichromatic architecture, but also bitextural or tritextural. You know, it sticks to certain textures, and then it works with them. Ribbix does that as well, but his highlighting is foremostly on the color, rather than just having the sort of fat texture sort of differences, that sort of thing. If that makes any sense. I mean, I think it's a style that has a lot of room to develop a lot further, and I'd love to see where he and other mappers takes it. So I think it's going to be very interesting to chart, and it's really actually exciting for me personally, because it's proof that Doom is still evolving within the community.
Yeah.
And here we are. Here we are at the frontier with someone like Ribbix.
If I may, I would actually say that...
If I may shit on your parade.
He's... Ribbix, he's actually not, like, breaking the mold with the gameplay stuff in this. He's definitely...
Gameplay,
He's definitely unique with the artistic side of
that,
the word.
That's what I'm getting at, specifically.
Brilliant. But with the gameplay stuff, he's actually kind of... sticking to the safe side of the slaughter genre.
Yep.
Because basically, he's doing arenas. And you can see that,
yes and no. I would disagree with that.
He locks you in spaces and then he releases monsters on you. That's basically what, Insane Gazebo does in
I found it to be half and half though.
Sunder.
If he wasn't doing that, then he was actually throwing small skirmishes which sort of inched you along a sort of linear path.
And Slaughter fans like it because Insane Gazebo does it, and regular players like it because Killsaw taught us it's not a bad thing. So it's like refining something that's already been there gameplay wise. I mean, it doesn't really bring anything revolutionary. it's solid refined gameplay in its particular genre. It's much better than most of the slaughter attempts that we get. So I would say it's refined gameplay wise and it's quite unique and experimental artistic wise.
I think one big credit to Ribbix is the way in which he's alleviated some of my misgivings about slaughter gameplay. Like, I used to outright dislike it.
Yes,
same here.
He's weaned me onto
it. It makes the genre accessible to the common player, basically. It's not something you need to hate because you can't, I don't know, just kill 100 cyber demons with super shotgun or something.
Jesus Christ. But Matt, did you, it sounds like you ended up being able to play either this or Swim of the Whales, which I guess we can include in this discussion since they are, in a sense, very, very similar.
Yeah, they are very similar. With the Stardate going with a very purple accent theme, and like Swim with the Whales kind of has that blue accent theme, but like they still kind of have that.
I would honestly say they're the exact same map set.
I mean,
change the color.
I mean,
Swim with the Whales does have like a different
organic, I guess, I would say.
Yeah, it has like that sort of element of design to it. But I liked Stardate because it had like every. I always cringe when a slaughter map thing gets made because like I always have those like weird misgivings like it's going to be. You know when you start out mapping, the inclination is to put tons and tons of things in there and whatever, because it would just be fun to mow down a whole lot of things. And, I mean, it turns out it is fun, but they have to be balanced in some way, or they have to, like, not be drawn out very, very to extraordinary length. But if it's still in manageable enough pieces and the architecture is really interesting to look at and you kind of want to see what the rest of the series of maps look like and how they play, it's encouraging. It's an encouraging map set, and it's an enjoyment to play through.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can even imagine just some players, or even recommend some players that they, you know, if they're not a fan of Sword of Soul gameplay, you can download it anyway, just no monsters your way through, and just have a look at the map. Because, you know, that sort of thing doesn't discriminate between players, you know? I mean, you can have a preference for visuals, I guess, of course, in that respect, but it can do you no harm just to have a look at it and marvel at this sort of stuff. And be inspired by it.
I'd say Rebix definitely deserves even his Mapper of the Year award, because he popularizes the slaughter genre like no one else. Because he makes it approachable by the common player. He makes it fun. He doesn't scare you away with bullshit difficulty. And it looks awesome.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, that was like one part in Swim of the Whale that I just couldn't get past. Damn teleporting cyber demons on conveyor belts. I mean, have you ever heard of such a thing? I can't deal with that. I don't have the dexterity to overcome that sort of horse shit. Anyway, that aside, I was very pleased with it, and I go so far as to say it was almost flawless. So I think we can, we can wrap up the discussion on those two cankerworlds, maybe come back to Rubix a little bit later when we discuss the Mapper of the Year. But for now, Pirates. Yar!
Yes.
Pirates and Darth. Darth of Doom, or just, I think, Arch? No, not Darth. Dark.
Dark.
Or just
Dark,
Arch.
Yeah.
Darky Arch.
Dark.
And how fun is this to play? Seriously.
Pirate Doom is probably the most whimsical, like, okay, we talk about Doom total conversions. Pirate Doom is up there with Batman Doom, in my opinion, as one of the greatest things ever. If I had to pick the best thing to come out this year, it would be Pirate Doom. Mm-hmm. And I say that hating, like, four levels in it flat out, but it's just...
I think they've been revamped as well.
I haven't played it since they got revamped. But it's just so... It's cute, almost.
It is.
It's got a lot of character. It's got a lot of character.
Bleeding out of every orifice.
It's like watching a Pixar movie, almost, but in the Doom experience. Because there's like a level of enjoyability to it that's like, you're just having a good time. Like,
if Ron Gilbert made Guybrush Threepwood pick up a flintlock pistol and have at some demons, get Pirate Doom.
I mean,
also pirates.
The extent to which this is just so fun and comical completely trounces any other flaws that you can. And I can think of tons of flaws. Like Tonsman says, there are a couple maps there you just outright dislike or even think just shit. But still, I mean, there are even some like inconsistencies in art. Like the hands look weird when you compare sometimes with some of the other great artwork that's actually in front of you. But it's so easy to look past that stuff when it's as comical as it is. And so much replay value. I mean, I've seen Dime do some speed runs of Pirate Doom because of your ability to like dash forward with the sword and things like that. Certain mechanics just make it give out of that replay value to it. I think I would go alongside Tarns when I would say it's could possibly be the best release of the year.
Mm.
I'd go the distance.
Definitely.
But something tells me that Do hasn't played it.
I have.
You have? Holy.
It's fucking brilliant. I just love every step of it. I mean, well, I'm a big LucasArts fan, so I was right at home with this. And the start of the Outlaws map, that was just a tearjerker for me. That was just brilliant. I have to say, I really disliked the swamp map with
I love the swamp.
Hedge maze.
I didn't like the hedge maze, but I loved everything.
That was way too long. The hedge maze was way too long. And just the following map, the castle. I don't know. It just seemed too generic for me. But otherwise, I loved every step of it.
Peg leg arachnotrons, man. Peg leg.
Oh, yeah.
If that doesn't sell, and frankly, I don't think anything else needs to be to sit on the matter. You know?
No.
It's fun. Play it. There we go.
You have to play it.
Yeah, pretty
and,
much.
And how long have we been waiting for a total
decision? It's just so, well, I hate to say it, but it's so deep. Like, so many in-jokes.
Oh, what a fun.
You just love it.
I think it's just one of those things that you talk about creativity and Doom, and I think it's a great example of just, you know, Doom doesn't have to be serious or anything like that. Just create some scenario where you can have a goofy, fun time killing stuff. And that's what Pirate Doom, I think, succeeds the most at.
Absolutely. And, you know, Doom was never serious in the first place, I don't think. It always had that that underpinning of comedy every step of the way. I mean, I think even when I was a kid, I was never scared by the cacodemons, you know, even just because of giant cherry tomatoes. In fact, I'm pretty sure I did just call them cherry tomatoes for the... They are ridiculous creatures, let's face it. They're stupid at them.
Yeah.
Bright red fruits. Project MSX. Here we go now. We're on to the gameplay award. This was articles written up by Caesar. I'll be honest. I mean, I love it, but I didn't actually test it out that much. So I
definitely played this one quite a bit. Good. I loved Project MSX. I really wanted to see Meg Sigma X like kind of also make. I mean, I had some like kind of misgivings about it because like a couple of the monsters like did that weird like, you know, they look awkward running at like a very, very high clip at the player. But it's he's still kind of like working on it in bits and pieces, just trying to like refine some more of the gameplay elements. But it's really, really, really fun as is, and it's kind of like it's, dare I say, it's kind of like. If you wanted, like, that kind of, not so much, like, Call of Duty, but, like, that kind of, like, that, like bulky guy fighting, like, just who's basically a tank fighting a whole bunch of monsters and stuff.
Deep sea diver suit.
Yeah, like, and he's, like, he's basically wearing, like, kind of, like, the crisis suit, almost. Like the super strength or super speed or whatever, but it's, like, but, well, it's not, it doesn't really play like that, but it still has... enough of like, you know, weapon variety and enemy variety, and it works really, really well as a gameplay mod for existing maps and like new stuff that comes out. Like it still has a balance that I wouldn't expect most gameplay mods to have, but it has a really, really. Like the sound, the sound engineering is really good. Like all the sounds that were picked for all the weapons and stuff like that are really, really, really good. And the enemies, while needing some tweaking, are still really fun to shoot and like the dodge and whatever. And it's just a welcome. I really like it. I really like the mod. I'm just wishing that he also he might have done it by now, but he was like gonna add some like actual editor numbers to some of the new objects. So if you like made additional maps specifically for that mod, you probably could. But I'm not sure if he Mag Sigma X got around to that. But
I was actually gonna say that the two things I have to say about Project MSX are one. My single favorite thing about it by far is the HUD.
Yeah.
And,
Man.
Two, that it's something that I really think needs its own map set to go along.
Yes.
Yeah.
It definitely does. And I was like, please, please make it, I want to make, like, at least one map for this, because, like, it could just be, it could, like, you know, it would fit very well with, say, Back to Saturn X's environment. Like, it has that, like, that industrial type of look, and, like, so does the guy that would be going through all of these bases, like, shooting a whole bunch of creatures and demons and whatever. It would fit so beautifully. And I wanted to, like, I kind of was like, please, please make it so that people can make maps for this.
Wraps it up quite nicely. I mean, yeah. Again, I only play it to a certain extent, and so I don't really feel qualified to remark on it that much, but I trust your judgment. I certainly trust Stasis. And I do actually remember that it was in the running for last year's as well, so if it's some...
I really like powering up a fist and then punching a cyber demon to death.
It's
amazing.
It's the little things. It's the little things.
Yeah, it's all the little things.
It's something I really would love to see with the gameplay mods, them obtaining their own map sets. I think it would just be so much better than just running them.
A lot to ask, of course.
Over. Yeah. Because basically, that's what happened last year when I really wanted Kill Frenzy to get the ward, because it actually had, it's a partial conversion with completely different physics and everything, and it had its own maps. And that's what made it special for me, because it worked. It just worked so well with the maps designed just for the... You know,
is that
weird
the
physics.
One with Rock King announcing everything?
Yes,
that's actually a really good map set, and that's that and Skepland will go down as the biggest snubs.
Oh, well, the snubs must exist. They must exist. Yeah. Which rather makes it sound like we're deliberately sort of omitting them, but that's not the case. I swear to. Yeah, okay.
But my point is that these gameplay mods, if they had dedicated map sets, they would just explode into popularity.
Yeah.
I just don't think it's a good thing when you just run them over the old school megawatts. It's just so much better when they're when they're like focused on maps that exploit all the features.
Like, I mean, like, you'll end up using some of them in, like, you know, just regular Doom, like going through like some regular Doom maps, but I mean, there's something missing because, you know, the art style kind of like clashes with, like, you know, Doom's, but like, if, oh my god, like if it was kind of like combined with, say, Back to Saturn X or like UAC Ultra or some kind of like really industrially textured and like environmental thing, it would be like, it would be like three times better than it is already.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Back to Saturn X, industrial textured until you get out of episode one, and then, man, those jungle textures really work well with it. I actually should have done, because I actually played episode two of Back to Saturn X with Project MSX, so.
Oh, really? You didn't run into any problems like you did with Brittle Doom, you know, like imps jumping in the air and splitting in half and then reforming and then...
We do not talk about Brutal Doom.
Rule one of Doom Radio.
Never. We actually do talk about Brutal Doom when we're referring to that bug, because it's the best.
Around. Nothing will keep it down. More Death Award, which I can't imagine how much can be said about this, other than that I think every single time a More Death Award is awarded, we have to remind ourselves exactly what it is and what we're really getting at. And there tends always to be a paragraph in the award given to explain that this is why it was, what the More Death Award actually means, which Stasia has done again this year, which went to ZDM Community Map Project Take 2, which, of course, Take 2 was the second take of that project. Mm. It was the first one, I think, was put into development in 2005. Good grief.
2005 is a long time ago, yeah.
Okay, but see, here's my question. Was Take 2 in development since 2005?
No, but it doesn't...
It was talked about.
No, because that's... See, we just brought that up, and this is actually kind of when I saw that, I kind of scratched my head, because in my opinion, the Morgoth Award is for something that's been in development, yeah. and, like, people keep talking about coming out.
Yeah, like Plutonia 2, or dare I say Unholy Realms, but, like, that was a couple years, but it was...
Back to Saturn X since 2009, like, that's kind of...
Well, confusing. I mean, Back to Saturn X is a different story. I mean, we were actually going to consider it, because, in a sense, it was just, it was so labored, and still hasn't really come out, which might validate it to one point. But, I mean, well, in a sense, that means that surely you should just wait until all three episodes come out and then just put it under a big block of this took forever, Mordeath Award, and just award everything. But then I guess they are three separate projects, which is an entirely separate discussion and stuff. Yeah.
Well, I actually, because I wasn't asked to do the multiplayer awards for a long time, so when I started doing them, that was actually past the 10th of December. But at that moment, I actually had a challenger for the Mordoth Award, which was Aeon Deathmatch, because actually some of the maps are as old as 2006.
Jeez.
So I was like, well, should we challenge the Assetum community project or not? Well, I just kept it silent. So
it appears to me that infamy is a pretty big quality when we're considering what gets them all off the water. And actually, going by Tarnsman's definition of what should get them off the water, should Mordeath even get a Mordeath award? Because sure, it may have been in development for length of time, but has it been in development for the length of time that it's supposedly been in development for?
Supposedly so.
Well, yeah, see, that's the thing. Like, with, like, something like Plutonia 2 definitely deserved it, because, like, when you talk about Plutonia 2, you're talking about the fact that, like, they basically made an entire project, then deleted it, and then...
Well, that's, like, just great. Wow. That's where the award's going.
What, Plutonia 2?
Yeah. I mean, if it had got deleted from the start, that's considered part of the development process.
Well, there were remnants.
No, that's what I'm saying,
There were remnants of the old projects still, like...
It left a bit, yeah, like...
At least three maps.
That were... When you talk about Plutonia 2's development, you're talking about a project that at one point had, like, 80% of the work that was done for it deleted.
Right.
So, and that did get a Mordeath Award. That's what I'm talking about. When I talk about, like, prolonged development cycles, I'm talking about, like, Duke Nukem Forever style. Like, we just kept making this.
Yeah. And now maybe Doom 4.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. So, Tomsman.
If that ever comes out.
Tomsman, how you doing?
Doing good.
How extreme are you?
I'm super extreme.
Yeah, but, how extreme?
I'm so extreme!
That's better. The Extreme Weapon Pack was the Mock Award for this year.
The Extreme Weapons Pack is amazing, and if you don't like it, go fuck yourself, because the Extreme Weapons Pack...
God, why haven't we fired this guy? Jesus, do I have to keep reminding?
He's good for controversy.
Anyways, the Extreme Weapons Pack is... what the Mock Award should be, and I think I actually had a lot of dislike for Call of Duty getting it, because I don't think that really qualifies, since it's just like, oh, look at these funny tropes, because this is first person shooters nowadays.
Well,
I mean, LOL.
It is pure mock,
but see, the Extreme Weapons Pack, on the other hand, is actually funny.
Yeah.
Like, seizure-inducingly funny.
Yeah.
I don't know, when I saw a vending machine behind bars in Call of Duty 3 spec,
right, that was, that was definitely... Pepsi getting, well, behind the bars.
And the Taco Bell.
That was the best moment. But...
But we're talking about the first Call of
Duty. It was...
Not...
Yes.
Yeah, that it was this year.
But... It got the Mock Award last year, right?
Yeah.
So,
well, yeah. The main reason I don't think that one got it was because it was the same point said for the third time.
And I do think, the third one was lot better, but
it had the best joke, but it wasn't the best in the year.
No, yeah. I think the third one was probably the best of them, and I do think that that's not on first. I'm referring to the original one though.
Extreme Weapon Pack though does a great job of mocking the weapons packs that claim to be extreme and are extreme and dealing, you know, bigger is better, louder is funner, Russian Arsenal style, which of course got his own gameplay ward.
But with Extreme Weapons Pack, Extreme Weapons Pack works because everything in the pack accurately reflects the player's frustration while trying to use it.
Yes.
Like when you're clicking the shotgun and it's not working and you tell you guys just fumbling with it, like, that's an accurate reaction to how the player's like, fire, 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 or...
If I remember correctly, when the shotgun does fire, it, like, obliterates everything in front of it.
Including your wrists.
Yeah.
But, you know, another great point is that I still don't know how that goddamn vacuum cleaner gun works. Like, I'm praying that it won't explode in my face, even though, I don't know the mechanics of it. Will it? Won't it? It's powerful, that's why I use it.
Do I remember? I don't remember if there was a vacuum cleaner weapon in there. I think there was. Was there also an electric toothbrush?
Well, it's more like a, yes. Yes.
The electric toothbrush.
The Chupa Chuppy toothbrush. Man's best friend. But no, I think it was a slot 6, a plasma replacement. It was actually functioning more like a leaf.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Call it a,
now I remember.
Vacuum cleaner. Some people don't like it. I mean, that's understandable. It's not for everyone. But it is a good joke. Whether or not you agree, you're objectively wrong if you say otherwise. So, but do give it a shot. Extreme, only if you're extreme enough, obviously. Then you can handle that sort of destructive firepower. Extreme Weapons Pack by Dogo 120. Thanks a lot. And well done.
Yes. Very much.
And, we've already discussed Rivix, to a great extent. The article that I wrote up from was focusing as much on Doom, I think, as an art form and the coming together of this new sort of design and turning over new leaves, I think, in the community, as it was about Rivix himself. So, I mean, would you agree that Doom is an art?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's an engine that has its own specific tools, and it has its limitations, and it has its own style of making things with it, and it's not easy. I mean, it's easy to make something, but it's not very easy to make something good. And just like any kind of art, it's all in how you use your tools, rather than like if you know, it's no fun, and it's not really refining. It doesn't really refine any skills if you are given like a complete like limitless. If you'd had no limits to what you can make or if you're not limited by any sort of technology, like if the only limit is your imagination, then you know that's all right. But you also have to do it within the confines of what an aged engine can handle. But it still can create a passable or even a really really engrossing interactive experience.
Right.
So it's easy to use, hard to master.
Well, I think this could actually be a program BF episode, frankly.
In this regard, it's like Doom is a medium.
Yes.
And
yes, it is. Definitely.
Rivix just uses it for artistic creation because he makes his own MIDIs. He makes his own art, he makes his own textures. So, yeah, he's just, expressing himself as an artist, actually.
Yeah. And he's using Doom as his canvas.
When you compare it to, like, a production studio, like, back to Saturn X, the big production, and he's
crushes it under his iron heel of tyranny.
And he's the indie developer that's going full out with the bright ideas, and he's just so much better.
Well, I'm here. I think everyone should play Spoons. Go check out Spoons. That's like a personal favorite of mine. It's like mini Stardate. In fact, his style is actually. It's not just the rooms or the areas that have been removed or you know, everything scaled down to size, but it's actually his style has shrunk as well. So you have little rivulets of color darting everywhere. It looks great.
Spoons.
I knew it. Townsman. Spoons by Rivix. Spoons by Rivix. It was actually released last year.
Go check it out.
Wasn't released so much as it was just, you know, postponed or stopped, definitely. So there we are with the main awards, ladies and men of the general disposition. It's just taken a while to get through, but I think it was worth it. We do have, of course, the runner-ups to discuss briefly, as well as those hotly, the map sets that some people think should have been awarded, but not. And perhaps we can start with those. I mean, Hellbound, tons been touched upon earlier, and Concerned. I think I should probably shed some light on it. Personally, I mean, KMX hadn't actually. This isn't an apology, by the way. I make no apologies for any of the decisions happening here at the CAC Awards, but
yeah, eat it, everybody.
Eat it. No, don't eat that. That's put that down. Okay. Actually, put it aside. Just throw it off the cliff.
All right. Where's the garbage?
No, KMX hadn't actually played it, which was a big factor. I mean, if you haven't played it, then you can't really comment on it, and it would be an injustice to really to just throw a word blindly at it. I mean, I had my opinions on it, and I didn't think it was worth its salt, and I think that's all that really needs to be said on the matter. Hellbound,
I started both played.
Did you? What do you think of Concern?
I was going to talk about Hellbound.
Do that.
Hellbound, I did start playing. I was wowed with the setting and the architecture, but it just, I don't know. It didn't really have... I don't know. It just felt like it was missing something.
Boring gameplay.
I think Tarnsman kind of hits on it.
Yeah.
Hellbound's biggest problem is that it devolves into the hallway and can't ever really get out of that rut.
It's a bloody shame because it looks marvelous, particularly.
Yeah, I must confess, I did stop playing it. I was playing it, and then I was just like,
I couldn't help but notice, but I'm still playing Hellbound. Maybe I should escape quit.
Yeah. I didn't go back to it, and that's kind of a bad sign.
Mm. Oh dear. We've kind of painted it a bad image, but no, really. I mean, it looks great in places, and it's clear that a heck of a lot of effort has been placed into it. And you know, as with most map sets, I would advise that you. You know, give it a go, you know, to write us a letter here at Doom Radio and say, you know, you made a great mistake and these are all the boons. I thought it was hella boring, but looked great in the shell of a nut. So there you
hella
are.
Boring. Hella boring. Oh, boy.
But the other runners-up, of course, were, let's have a look here, Hatophobia.
No, let's talk about Concerned, because you opened that up.
Oh, did I open up and shut it very quickly? Yeah.
I'd say Concerned's problem isn't the same, because it doesn't go for a like full-blown awesome visuals. But Cannonball just... Well, it's one of his first projects ever, and you can actually see... how the quality improves, like, E1 is, well, pretty much boring shit. And it gets better with E2 and E3. The whole time, this is limited with, well, it being, fucking Doom 1. And that just needs the Maverick to be much more creative. To provide fun for three episodes.
No, that's right. When you're working with that restricted vesture, you really need to make up for it in other areas of design.
So basically, Campbell is a developing mapper who decided to make three episodes of Ultimate Doom, which is not something you can make automatically. He improved in the process, but it's definitely not a CAC Award-winning effort.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure he will get one eventually.
Yeah, eventually. Definitely eventually, yeah.
He's developing as a mapper.
I'm going to say he won't, because I'm a dick.
Actually, Tom's been conducted a neat little experiment when we first had a look at... a Cannonball's map set. And it struck me as pretty significant. He actually brought up three separate overlays of maps. He didn't tell me which ones they were or anything, and he showed them to me all three at the same time. And he said, Alfonso, which one is from which episode? And they looked pretty much identical, and they were each from a different episode, and I couldn't actually pick which one out. And I think that's very telling. If your map design isn't really changing across, you know, at least, I mean, not that you can tell everything just by looking at it from the top down, but you can tell a heck of a lot. I mean, the layout, the way it's structured, everything like that, the geometry. If that's not changing significantly between episodes, then I think that's something that should be rectified, honestly.
The difference in quality between the episodes as the deciding criteria, basically.
Well, there is a difference in quality, but there isn't a difference in, like, anything else. Like, episode one is no different than episode three, except for, you know, there's more thought put into monster placement and stuff like that.
Right. That's what I thought, yeah.
But stylistically...
He makes better fights.
Yeah, in
the following episodes.
There's better map-making decisions, but it's also a problem that both Alfonso and I really have with Whispers of Satan, is that nothing changes from the start to the end, to where it feels like it makes it drag a lot more.
That's
and it really breaks down the overall experience.
And I mean, with the case of Whispers of Satan, it's you're more acutely aware of that fact because of
Pecorf.
Well, I mean, because the themes change so drastically, but otherwise the level design doesn't. And when that happens, you're just like, okay, well, this shift has happened, but why hasn't that? Why am I still going down hallways looking at inlets, you know, every corner, every which way? Nothing else is changing.
So it almost, like, seemed formulaic then.
Yeah.
Demon ambushes.
So I think that covers that pretty nicely. I hope that settles some people's misgivings and doesn't make them, you know, take up pitchforks and torches and come to Alfonso's house and burn him alive.
They'll still pick up some torches and pitchforks, but maybe there'll be a few less. some fewer people that actually pick up the...
Well, they don't know where I live anyway.
Maiming implements.
No, but I do, and I'll come.
God, fuck. All right. Let's see.
Farzman will be leading them.
On to the runners-up now. And, I mean, it's kind of unfortunate, though, because there were a heck of a lot of decent quality stuff. I mean, could have made the cut had there not been so many great releases this year. I mean, I say there were only a couple of no-brainers, and some of them were sort of, you know, up in the air as to, you know, whether they were even properly released, should there be award and that sort of thing. And in that sense, it was difficult. But just on grounds of pure quality, I mean, there are some great stuff here in the runners-up. That's why they're runners-up. I mean, Interception was fun enough. I mean, I think I called it mediocre at one point back when we were doing a review. I think that's a bit harsh. I think it does actually have, it has some mediocre maps, as does any sort of community map project of that sort.
I think it has more mediocre than it does amazing, but it does have some amazing maps in it.
That's right. And it's perhaps its biggest boon is second episode.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which neatly skirts around that problem of, you know, middling map sets, maps rather, in the second episode. You know, people always wanting to map for the first episode or the last episode, and then sort of everything else just sort of buckles into the middle, and we'll call that the second, the sort of transitional phase. Unless that's something that other folks disagree with. I don't know, that's a trend that I've noticed.
It always seems like E2 ends up being the filler.
Yeah.
Not always,
fortunately.
Yeah, a lot of times it just seems like it's the filler, because everybody always has, like, a clear, again, it's because, you know, if you look at all the, IWADs, they all begin on Earth, and they all end in hell. So those are, like, always these two clear, defined themes that we always want to stick to. And I don't know why, but it just is. And so people always have ideas for that, and then E2 just kind of becomes, I need an E2.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, yeah.
But, I mean, Interception does it well, I think. The transition is got this great underground cavern atmosphere, and it, It's biggest plus. I mean, I'm always damning the faint praise there by saying it's its biggest plus, but it's an important one, I think, and not to be underestimated. It's fun, the second episode. Also, music by Stewboy.
Yes. Absolutely.
Which instantly puts it up there for me on a personal note. There we have it. don't want to spend too long on these. I mean, we've reviewed quite a lot of them in any case, in other forums and other episodes. In Hatophobia is the next one by Team Progfic, of course, came out of Team Progressive Fiction.
That was the Progressive Fiction Begawad, and I was kind of interested to see how it ended up. And from what I played through of it, keep in mind I'm not on the judging staff. From what I played through it, it started out okay, and then there were like some maps like in the middle where it was like, oh no, introducing some hellish themes a little too quickly, or like the quality of the maps kind of like changed. Like it was kind of like a community effort, from what you'd like probably see in like a community chest megawad, and that like it varied very much with quality and gameplay. But it was I don't know. It seemed like it had a lackadaisical direction to it, I guess it would be what I would say.
Mm-hmm. So you think much of the problem with it was at the top?
I guess
I'm putting
so.
You on the spot there to say something like that.
I mean, with most projects, you have to have some kind of direction and if you want a cohesive experience. For all I know, maybe the intention was for it to be an experiment, and as an experiment, I think it was successful, but as a whole product, it kind of had some hits and misses. From what I played, and it was still a very significant amount.
Plenty enough.
I have nothing to add.
Drone.
I haven't played it because basically I was really skeptical about the whole project. I was like, so they have a lot of backstory they have to put in text files, and I felt that was like something I could complete, like the whole story. I could complete it in by reading it in, the fanfics. Mm-hmm. Part of forums and then just skip the maps.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really think
new
maps are a good vessel to carry a story. So if you single the story into text files, it's not just going to work.
No, that's what we were saying, is it totally failed at its goal, but...
in so many words.
It failed at what it wanted to be, but that's not.
Well, yeah, it might have failed at what it wanted to be, but some would argue that in the first case that goal wasn't even, you know. Well, I mean, it doesn't even have that great an importance in Doom. So even if it does fail, does it really have any impact on how good it is to play in the first place? So if it failed utterly, in my opinion, as being a story. I think the story is...
Yeah, I mean, but if being a story was your goal, then and you didn't reach your goal, then that kind of is a detriment to its overall...
It is a detriment, but, I mean, because story isn't worth that much Doom in the first place, I mean, depending on how you tell it, I think at least, even if it does fail, it's still left to stand on its feet as a half-decent map set. Plus.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree with that. Yeah.
I'd say you'd need a full-blown Zed Doom project with, basically long cutscenes that would reveal big parts of the story in the maps.
Yeah, I disagree, because Back to Saturn X tells a great story, and it has not cutscenes.
This is where the semantics come into play, really, because is level...
So you can't skip anything.
Yeah.
So you basically need to follow the whole game, and at every bit you need some more story, exposition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, Strife comes close, I say, as like an engine product, but it has interaction with other NPCs, and it has an overarching plot, and you're kind of like the world is expanding as you go through the game in a lot of ways. It takes more than just shooting demons in order to have a story that the player experiences rather than a backstory that you would have just in a, you know, in the text file that comes with it.
Hmm. Certainly what you shouldn't do with the text file is what Heliophobia did end up doing, I think, and just have the story told map per map. I mean, yeah. I prefer something like Icarus, where even if it was the case with Icarus, I mean, I think the story's up on the site, at least. It might not be in a text file of some sort. But you just have, like, it takes 5 minutes to read. It's a block right at the start before you actually load up the game with whatever source port. And then I think that's it. I mean, the ending is actually resolved just in the map, and that's fine. And that works, I think. You set the scene, and then the level design does the rest, and it tells you the story. That's for traditional Doom, I guess. I wager you could find great ways, and we have found great ways to tell stories in Z-Doom map sets, and we'll continue to do so. I think it's something that can be explored further. I don't think Heliophobia is the way to do it.
No.
Okay. But good job, guys. There were some fun maps in there. I particularly liked Purist maps. I think map 29 was a fantastic one. And also Primeval's Greatest Track, I think. I think it was a fantastic map and rounded off very nicely, just on a personal note. The next up, we've discussed Hellbound already, Hi-Lo 5 by Chris Hansen. I was very pleased with that. I'm not sure if anyone else here has played it. It was a single release. He did a few other releases this year. He's one of those legendary mapping royalty folks who doesn't disappear. He keeps putting out golden nuggets, such as this one. And I think it's another example of a map that just... Hi-Lo 5, that is, that just works in and of itself, and if you put it into a mega world like Tansman said, as was the case with Field of Error, wouldn't work. Did anyone else here play it? Am I alone?
I must confess I did not play it.
Tansman?
I'm sorry, I spaced out for a second. What are you talking about?
Why aren't you fired? Someone got Tango!
No, I didn't play it. No, I didn't play it.
Okay.
Turn in your keyboard and mouse.
Well, did anyone play anything by Chris Hansen this year?
No, I did not play Hi-Lo by Chris Hansen.
This is shameful. Get the axe. God damn.
I'm kind of busy. I don't always have the time to play.
Oh, he's playing that card. Well, I guess since there's not much discussion to be had here, other than my own ramblings, I'll just say, for you folks who are listening, and for those on the goddamn panel, go out and play some Chris Hansen's map from this year, particularly Hi-Lo 5. Fantastic stuff. Let's see. Heading over to the next. Soul Crusher. Wow. Now, Tansman, I know you did a stream of this. This is my Alter Zero. Of course, originally sold away NMN. I didn't play it, I must admit. Again, it was judged by KMX, put up, and I trust his decision there, but you must have an opinion on it.
I remember it being pretty okay. It was a Z-Doom project. It felt like a Z-Doom project. It looked good. It didn't have, like, a lot of really ugly Z-Doom shit in it. Overall, I don't know, it felt kind of like a poor man's really ambitious Z-Doom project. Like, it didn't wow me in the same way that, say, Winter's Fury or Pirate Doom did, but, definitely a worthy runner-up.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Did no one else play? I mean, this is the question that's coming down to you right now. Has anyone played the runners-up?
besides, what is it, the Heliophobia and,
I played Interception, Heliophobia, and Soul Crusher.
Well, if you didn't play those ones, I mean...
Oh, Hellbound, too.
Played those, too. But,
yeah, Hellbound I also played, yes.
Yeah.
But if you didn't play Soul Crusher and the like, then you probably wouldn't have played Stomper, which is our last on the runners-up list. Started way back when by Heading In once again. Like I said before, I think, earlier in the podcast, it was... It has eventually been released, but in the sense that, you know, there's no more production on it, and it's gradually the realization has been made that it's never going to get to the end. So it's being released in an unfinished state. There's still some great quality in there, and some great new art, and I recommend that everyone takes a look at it. It's almost, but not quite, a megawad. And I think when I say it's unfinished, I mean to say that some of the maps are actually unfinishable, that they are playable. So that's the sort of where we've been left here, but no, absolute quality. You should play it. I mean, because it's a runner-up, and I'm not prepared to do an entire goddamn review here, I'm not gonna sit here for 10 minutes and blab about it at length, other than to say play it. Jeez, you guys have got a lot of stuff to play here. And then I think we're wrapping it up here. Whew. Fuck. Yep. Jeez, how long was that? That was
This is I think we're going on about
2.25
hours. We're over. Might have to break this up into two parts.
I think that might be a sound idea. I mean, I'm falling apart. The same here. You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? God damn it.
Okay.
All that remains to thank are all those who, of course, made the maps, these wonderful projects for 2013, for the 20th anniversary of Doom's release. And also for those who participated in the CAC Awards, the extra formation of it. So that's KMX, says I give myself a pat on the back. Yeah, I'm an asshole. Also to Asshole. To Do here, how can we possibly forget? And for Scuba Steve, who always was hassling me from beyond to get the goddamn thing out. Not on time, but you know, within a week. Thanks for tuning in, folks. We're resuming schedule as usual, we hope, here at Doom Radio. To 2014. It's a lot of great stuff. I'm not sure we have any interviews lined up for you just yet, but Fraggle, get on down here, and I'm sure Matt will be able to line you up with an episode of Knee Deep in the Code. That'll be a great listen. Please.
Also, if Randy Height, if you are also listening to this at all, get in touch with me. I mean, if you want to be interviewed for KDITC. So, I really should have just said the name of the show, though. That would have been better. So, yeah. So, come on, programmers out there, get in touch with me. I really want to pick at your brains.
Also, thanks. I would like to apologize to all the multiplayer authors, because I totally did a bad job of promoting the projects, because I had no idea what the talk format of this show would be, and I was all over the place.
Oh, that's how we roll here at Doom Radio. At least how Townsman rolls, and we're sort of forced to tag along. Just wing that shit. Anyway, thanks for tuning in. It's been, 2.25 hours, so if you stuck with us all this time and haven't switched off, you're a champion of the course. And tune in next week when we'll be... coming out with Where's All the Data. We should hope Tarzan and I will be reviewing Ultimate Doom. Wow. Who'd have thunk it, eh? How objectively bad is it? We'll find out.
Fucking terrible.
Thanks for tuning in.